What is up, everyone, and welcome to Talk To Me, episode 26.5. This is a companion piece for episode 26, when I reached out to some Carolina Panthers fans. Another lost year kept coming up in my feed, so I reached out to those guys and had a couple of the members of Another Lost Year come on the podcast. So it's definitely one of the more fun podcasts I've ever made. We talk Carolina Panthers, we talk some Back to the Future, and we talk Eddie and the Cruisers 2, Eddie Lives. So it was a fun podcast to put together, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. So yes, you're getting a bonus Talk To Me on a Wednesday. When does that ever happen? So yes, if you're listening to the podcast on the day it comes out, today is Wednesday, and I hope you guys are having a great day. So if this popped up on your feed, congratulations, it's a gift from me to you. Without any further ado, I'm not going to do a whole lot of extra talking on this podcast. We're going to go straight into some Another Lost Year. Here's their single, Wolves, and then we'll go into the podcast, and I'll talk to you guys momentarily. How's it going? Who do I have here?
This is Nate. I'm Clinton.
It's great to have you guys on the podcast.
Good to be on.
So where are you guys driving?
Jesus, are we in West Virginia right now?
I think we're in West Virginia.
West by God, Virginia.
West Virginia. Oh man, you guys being safe out there? I know the weather's bad, so.
Yeah, we're on our way into even worse weather, so we're excited about that.
Oh wow! Well, hopefully you guys are being safe out there. Obviously, you know, from my years of touring, I know that the you know, this type of weather is no fun. Are you guys in a van and trailer? What do you guys? What kind of rig you guys driving out there?
Yeah, we got a van and trailer.
Yeah, definitely no good.
Just the old E350.
All right, guys. Well, let's get into this Super Bowl 50. And I know you guys are from North Carolina, so I know we're going to go on the Carolina Panthers side of this thing. So, so give me the breakdown. What do you guys think? How do you think the Panthers are going to fare in this game?
I think they'll come out on top. They ought to come out on top. If it's been like every other game this season, they'll run away with the first half and probably get lazy for a quarter and a half and pull it out in the end anyway.
So you think it's going to be a close game?
I think it'll be within a touchdown or less. Probably, I'll even go as far as say 24-20 Carolina.
All right, so when I went online and I was looking for bands that, you know, that basically it's pretty easy to find Broncos fans out there, but, you know, trying to find a band that's champions the Carolina Panthers was a little tough. So I posted it to Facebook. I got a few replies of a few different people, and one that kept coming up was you guys. And people were saying that the Panthers use your music. Is that true?
Yeah, they featured us on Thanksgiving week, I think, against the Cowboys. There was a hype video they did that week and used the current single now, Wolves, on it.
Oh, wow. How did that come about?
We know people. We actually they've been big supporters of us for the last couple of years, man. So it was just kind of, when we got Wolves ready to go out, our inside man, like Clive Owen and Denzel Washington, I don't get paid to talk about that movie, I sent him over a little preview of a couple songs, and he was like, man, we should be able to use this song, because about 2 years ago they did a story in the locker room. Was it Jordan Gross who was talking about it? I think it was Jordan Gross. I could be totally wrong. It could be a different player, but they were. It was right when they started out 0-4. What was that? 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I think it might have been last year. They came back and won, like,
yeah,
the rest of them.
Yeah.
But they, you know, it was this motivational speech about, you know, the wolf pack and blah, blah, blah. Even though they're Panthers, and they have these wolf jerseys made, practice jerseys. And so they had been looking for a song that had a wolf in it, I guess. And, you know, Hungry Like the Wolf didn't quite fly. And, I think Howl at the Moon, I don't know, Barking. I didn't even know the story, and he was like, man, as soon as I saw the email and it said Wolves on it, he was like, I kind of chuckled, but, you know, they fell in love with the song, and we fell in love with the idea of them using it for a hype video. It actually got pushed off for a couple weeks. It was supposed to be used during the Green Bay game, and then, because, like, man, we, you know, with all the synergy and stuff around the song, they actually used it for Thanksgiving week against the Cowboys. That's how it happened.
Wow, that's definitely huge for you guys. So does this come with any perks? I mean, do you get some tickets, some field access, anything fun like that?
I can't really talk about the perks.
They synchronize the hits to our song, which is pretty much a perk to me anyway.
Oh, no, yeah, that's amazing. So you guys are out on tour right now on the Make America Rock Again tour. Are you guys out by yourself right now, or are you guys out actually with other bands?
Yeah, we got Low Water from Athens, Georgia out with us. This is our second run with these guys. And we just got done on our mid-tour break, and we start back up with Royal Blitz and Low Water in Joliet, Illinois.
You guys seem to be out and about just like a ton. Are you guys, you know, is that just a philosophy of the band, or just to be on the road that much?
Well, you get out of it what you put into it, so we put everything into it. Hopefully we'll get something back, but we work really hard. We stay gone about 300 days a year, this past year we quote-unquote took time off, and taking time off consisted of writing about 18 songs and and ended up being in the studio for most of that time off anyways. We weren't really off. But away from home is basically how we all live at the moment. We're lucky when we get to go home and kind of chill out for a little bit.
So tell me about the upcoming record that you have coming out.
It's going to be packaged in a compact disc format.
I've heard of those.
Yeah, it's like it's a fairly new technology. We're breaking away from the cassette.
It comes with a free drone.
Yeah.
Not true.
When you order it, Amazon drops a house on your house. we Nate was saying, we recorded a bunch of songs for this thing, and we'll deliver like 20 some songs that we recorded to this bad Mama Jamma. And it was a much different approach this time than anything we had ever done. We actually kind of pre-prod a little bit. I think you'll be able to tell that we actually went in and prepared a little bit more for this record. But we recorded it with Jose Yerquez from 3 Years Hollow. We did it in a bunch of cornfields in Illinois, basically right next to Davenport, Iowa. And it's coming out really soon. I don't have the exact date yet. We're lining everything up now. I know for anybody that's been keeping up, we've been talking about it coming out for a couple months. But, we just want, it's our child at the end of the day. We want, the best look that we can get for our kids. And it's the same thing with this record. This record deserves everything that we can give it. So we're trying to make sure we make all the right steps. And, we've got a great... Are you there, man? Hello?
Yeah, I got you. Are you there? Yeah, we lost you for a second, but...
Oh, man, that was motivational.
No, I was pumped. I was ready to run through a wall, so, I was...
Holy crap. Yeah, no, man, we're just... I was saying that we hope that it gets the best one possible, man. We want what's best for the music at the end of the day. It's like Eddie and the Cruisers.
Except one of you doesn't die.
Well, technically
he didn't die. He came back as
Joe West.
I almost said Joe Best. I was like, it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, that's great. That's definitely the first Eddie and the Cruisers reference on the podcast. I appreciate that, guys.
You know that movie is actually the reason that I've been a band.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Eddie and the Cruisers. Eddie and the Cruisers too. I actually saw two before I saw one. So. I had no idea what happened, and I fell in love with the idea of this guy who had come back and nobody knew who he was, and I remember the Seasons in Hell record that record company was trying to release, man. I fell in love with that movie, and I fell in love with music, and it was more about the passion that he had, not about, he didn't want anybody to know who he was, and I loved that, man.
That's where you guys got to find that. Their drummer in that movie, like with his like 24-pack abs and his curly permed hair, you got to find that guy. And then the cocky young guitar player, and it's not ready yet. You got to say all that time. So,
thankfully, well, Nate's working on a 24-pack right now.
Yeah,
I've got one and a half. Yeah,
there you go. I'm line up the perm, and then we'll talk. But
I always got the mullet, for real.
We got memberships to Planet Fitness now, so stand.
Oh, the whoops. It's over with now.
We got t-shirts.
Oh, yeah, dude.
We got t-shirts, man. I'm a real member.
No, though, actually, and just to get off Eddie and the Cruisers real quick, but the last thing I'll say is, like, I remember being a kid and, like, watching that movie and just seeing him put together his band, and then, flash forward to 15 years later when you're actually putting a band together. Not too far-fetched from that. You do find the drummer at the cover band and the saxophone player here. It's actually a pretty inspirational movie, I guess.
It was, man. And a lot of people, it's a shame that more people haven't seen that movie, but that's, I've been in and out of quite a few bands. I was in a couple cover bands and stuff like that, but, I remember being, 8 or 9 years old, making a cardboard cutout of this guitar that Joe West was playing, and, it was very inspirational to me, and I had no idea what it was inspiring at the time, because I was 29 years old before I decided to start another lost year and start pursuing music potentially as a career. But yeah, it wasn't that far fetched at all, man. I wish we could find a Wendell Duke.
That's great that you know the characters' names too.
you know, I did see part two before I saw part one also as a kid, so so funny. Oh man. All right, well, let's get back to your band. I've noticed, you know, I don't know how updated you guys keep your tour dates on your website itself, but I did kind of notice that, you know, you guys get out to, you know, you're in Nebraska, and then you'll have 3 days off, and then you'll drive how many ever miles and be in Wisconsin for 3 days and have, like, 3 days off. I mean, what are you guys doing on these days off? Is there something out there that, you know, you're keeping your mind occupied?
Well, as a general rule, I think last year it was, we have two websites, NerdLostGear.com, which is not maintained by us anymore. It was AOY.com is our website.
Yeah.
We, as a general rule, we play about, 20 days out of 30 days. We just got done doing Nana the last 10 days. But while we were off, you know, if you were looking at the last year's schedule, what we would do is we would play, like, we were doing Weekend Warrior stuff. And we were based out of Illinois because that's where we were recording at. So we would run out for a couple days and then run back in. That was, you know, for the first time we'd really done something like that. As a general rule, we do about 250, 270 days a year with minimal time.
That's great. That's amazing being out there. And so with the band, you know, kind of coming up these days, I mean, what are you guys, how are you guys reaching your fans the most? Are you doing it through Facebook? Are you doing it through, like, you know, the albums on Spotify? You know, I definitely checked it out. I checked it out through Amazon Music. That's where I got the album. You know, it was, great stuff. So, and it's just so easily attainable out there. So, you know, how are you guys reaching the most fans, I guess?
You know, honestly, I mean, as much as a fan page is great, you know, like Ernest Lost Your page, and we get a lot of interaction out of it, I think that people kind of gravitate, it's more so because we're more of like a, we're very personable. Like, people are in our lives. You know, we've got 5,000 friends on Facebook, and like pretty much all 5,000 of those people, you know, you'll see throughout the year they come to shows. And I would say Facebook's a pretty good reach for the most part. But you know,
we're on the pound, really.
Yeah, it's kind of being on the road nonstop, man. It's a party. When we come to town, people want to party with us. We don't even party. People want to come wash our van with us. You guys want to go to the car wash?
Hey, yeah, definitely. You get your Planet Fitness card, and then, you know, your 24-pack abs, and there we go.
We're good family.
You got to get that black card. So, Planet Fitness, if you're listening, we are trying to get sponsored by you so that we no longer have to pay the $20 amount of fee for our black card.
So the one thing I've noticed, even with, you know, promoting the podcast through Facebook, it's so hard trying, you know, you can have as many likes as you want, but to actually reach your fans, you know, you have to pay, do a sponsored post. Or do you feel that, you know, Facebook should allow, if a person likes your page, that they should be able to see it in their feed rather than basically getting hidden and having to sponsor things? Because, you know, you'll post something on Facebook through your page account, and you'll see the you know, it reached 28 people, and you're just, you know,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's tough. You know, what do you guys feel about that?
I mean,
yelling cuss at it a lot.
Yeah, I think it's not fair at all, because, you know, those are our fans that we've gone out and gotten them typically like that page. You know, it's not like my page being going to add people.
That was broken itself.
Yeah. But, you know, I also understand it because I think that, I understand it's a money racket, but...
Facebook owns the internet.
Yeah. on the other hand, if you believe in your craft enough, I mean, $10 a week in advertising is, unfortunately, is kind of what happens, but it's small potatoes in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, if I have to promote my band... if I have to pay $20 to do some advertising to sell 1,000 singles, I mean, that's business, right? Isn't it like advertising in the Yellow Pages? I mean, only today we're advertising on the internet Yellow Pages instead of Facebook?
That's one way to look at it, I guess. Oh, man. Yeah, it's just very unfortunate, you know, when you feel like you have fans and people out there checking out your stuff, and I'll have an amazing guest on the podcast, and I'm so excited to get it out there. And then you put it out there and check it in the next day, and it's like reached 18 people, and you're like, motherfucker.
I can tell you that we will get 19 at least.
Right? Oh, no.
I get it, man, and it does, man, it sucks so bad. But a good friend of mine, Smith Walker, told me something not too long ago, and he said, to change the rules, you got to play the game. And I think that's something that's got to be seen. I mean, you know, radio's done a really weird way, Facebook advertising algorithm. You know, there's nothing that we as consumers can really do until we get into that, you know, kind of prison break, the company upper echelon, I guess. You know, to be able to change it, I think you have to be influential, and you know, you have to.
Oh god,
we're about to watch a wreck.
Oh.
I think you have to be able to bring something to the table. So I mean, yeah, as much as it sucks, and we can huff and puff about it, you know, we can just bust our backs to get up there to where, you know, our voice actually matters, and we can say, you know what, this is wrong. This is not how it should be done. You know, radio is radio. I mean, you know, you pay. Radio, terrestrial radio is free to the consumers. You know, podcasts are free to consumers. But where it comes to is you as a person, you know, who has a podcast and you need to advertise. You have to. You're advertising your business by paying for it. The same thing with us when we go to radio. We're not advertising our songs. We're advertising our stuff. All we're doing is buying commercials. Basically, is what we're doing. Commercials on a commercial platform. It's no different than going out and getting a billboard. And it does suck because it used to be such a different time. I know DJs and everybody used to pride themselves on breaking bands and, you know, being the first person to interview someone and, you know, breaking news now. But the internet's kind of taken away that kind of luster of it, man. You know, here's another example for you. School, you would go to a thing called the library, right? You would go there and you would open up the card catalog.
Gooey decimal.
Decimal system, and there would be this hot, gorgeous librarian with black kids today don't even know what a librarian is, so they're not going to have these librarian fantasies, dude. What is going on with the world?
Wrong in America, too.
No, that's funny. We actually went to, you know, just to get a little personal, but we went to, my daughter is going to start high school next year, which is crazy in itself, but we went to her open house for high school, and it's a new school, just opened up, like this will be like the second class going through it kind of thing, and they were talking about that the kids will not have a single textbook, everything will be done on a laptop, and, you know, it's a magnet school type thing, but yeah, it's the whole program is on all on laptops, not a single textbook. I was like, good god, this is the world we live in these days.
Well, man, you know, one of my favorite things to do is the smell of the textbook.
That first day when you crack the spine, you know,
I'd always love to, like, seeing who had the book before me, if it was a used book, and I'd be like, oh my god, the top pick had this book before me, man.
No, that's, you know, and the other greatest thing about the, you know, the first day of school or whatever, when you would make your book cover out of a brown grocery sack, and then you could draw your Metallica logos all over it and whatever else you needed to do. So,
what was it, five-star Trapper Keeper zipper?
Yeah, I had five-star Trapper Keeper. It was like my elementary school.
Yeah, man, get that sucker out. Yeah. Have a good day, man.
White out on the black one.
Yeah. The red band.
Coloring the stars blue.
Some people have no idea what we're talking about.
No, that's all right. Hey, that's their loss at this point.
I agree, man. Nice for a great time.
Do you ever wonder if computers marketing people are actual computers? Like, if they're just, like, feeding humans all these computers to make them dependent.
Like Skynet?
Yeah, just like Skynet. Oh god!
Sorry about that, man.
Oh no, that's great. This is actually the first time on the podcast that I've had two guests at the same time. So I don't know what that means. Heyo.
You have to keep this podcast intact, man. Like, just let it run.
just let it go and go. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to put the phone down. I'm going to go upstairs, make a sandwich, and come back and see what you guys have done. All right, I'm going to give you a topic. The internal combustible engine is neither internal nor combustible, you know, talk.
Okay, back in 1887 when Doc Brown was making his ice cube machine, and they took the DeLorean back in a time through the drive-in theater screen. They tried to put that Everclear into their internal combustible engine, and it actually blew the fuel line. At that point, Doc Brown and Marty McFly concocted this crazy idea to push the DeLorean up to 88 miles an hour over Clear Ravine.
With a choo-choo train.
Basically, you know, they tried to pull it with horses, and they didn't get very fast. You know,
horses only cruise about 35 miles an hour, Marty.
But then, you know, you go to the train station, you ask the guy, you're like, can this thing do 90? 90?
Well, I suppose the fire was hotter than blazing the hell itself, and you had a track long enough, straight enough, yeah, I suppose it'd be possible.
Oh, if you guys only knew how much I talk about Back to the Future on this podcast, you would.
I'm glad like, we could
like even the last episode was, you know, I broke down the, you know, the DeLorean going back into production and how I needed to, basically anyone that donates to the podcast, all that money is now going to be filtered to my DeLorean fund. So.
Oh my God!
Didn't we see one in Myrtle Beach?
Yeah, there was a DeLorean there. They had one that was, like, back... Yeah, it was the same thing. Right, that picture traveling thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was at the Charlotte Mike baseball game. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, in the... So I was in this band in the late 90s, and we were playing in New Orleans. And I'm sitting there, and we had just got done. I was loading up my, you know, my bass gear. And then our singer came running in, and he was like, Toomey, you will not believe what's outside. And I'm like, what is it? And he's like, it's a DeLorean. So I run outside, and this girl's driving a DeLorean. And I'm like, will you please let me drive this? And she was like, yeah, no problem. So I jumped in the driver's seat. We drove around the block. I was going like 10 miles an hour. I was freaking out. She's like, you know, you can drive faster than this, right? And I'm like, I don't want to hurt it. But I guess the story was, it was like, yeah, no, I tried to get it to 88, but you know, no, but the thing was, it was she said it was a gift from her dad, and her dad had gotten it from John DeLorean as a gift to him for helping him do something. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Oh my God.
Right? So I've got pictures somewhere of me driving a DeLorean.
That's like one of those times you'll never forget. You can't even like pay money for that.
No. Well, I'm sure you probably could pay money to drive a DeLorean.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, you guys be safe out there. And I definitely appreciate you coming on the Talk To Me podcast. You know, just let everybody out there kind of know where they can find you online, and so they can like you on Facebook and never see a post you guys make.
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to chat with us about our Super Bowl 50 champions, the Carolina Panthers, as well as our band, Another Lost Year, which you can find at whoisaoy.com, facebook.com/AnotherLostYear. You can find us on Instagram, Official AOY, Twitter, Official AOY. And then you can find all our personal pages, which are, you know, usually attached to our Facebook page. I don't know what they are, everybody's pages. But, yeah, man, we're you know, if you get a chance to go out and see, if you get a chance to come see us, come see us. If you get a chance to go out and see live music, go out and support live music, because it's dying, much like the library and fantasies, man, and we really need to keep it alive.
All right, guys, I appreciate it.
One of the greatest rock and roll legends of all time, Eddie Wilson of Eddie and the Cruisers, is back. 20 years ago, he mysteriously disappeared. What really happened to Eddie Wilson?
Eddie Wilson was it.
You all know that Eddie Wilson is the greatest, right?
So you get yourself an Eddie Wilson freak show.
And don't say who you are, just play.
Do you think this is Eddie?
Don't you?
We have had reports that he's been seen in 12 states and in Paris, France.
And I won't shortcut the music.
try and capitalize on that.
If he were alive today, I would be right there next to
him. I still don't remember what happened.
And I just won't let you.
The music is down, not the mic. What is he doing?
Leave it to me.
We're on your side on this, Eddie.
But you've got one chance left to prove that the music is there for you, and that chance is tonight.
Maybe this time you can get it right.
It's the rock and roll movie event of the year. Eddie Wilson is back. The legend, the music, the man. Eddie and the Cruisers 2. Eddie Lives.
And there you have it, guys. Talk to Me, episode 26.5 is in the books. Thanks to Another Lost Year for coming on. That was an absolutely fantastic conversation. Sorry if the audio was a little shoddy. I could tell I was on some sort of speakerphone or whatever and had to doctor a lot of that, but I think it came out really well. And those guys were absolutely hilarious. Being able to relive my childhood through Eddie and the Cruisers 2 and Back to the Future and just all the great stuff. And, you know, for those guys to have the Carolina Panthers use their music in hype videos has to be amazing. And you know what I like to call also another lost year is any Tennessee Titans season lately. So those are always another lost year to me. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Obviously, it's an abbreviated episode. Next week, I've got Michael Del Pizzo from Sunflower Dead. I've already recorded that interview. It was absolutely fantastic. Great band. Make sure to check them out this week. So next week, you have frame of reference for the podcast. And until then, I will see you guys next Tuesday. Have a great week, everybody. Get a designated driver or an Uber for your Super Bowl party. Don't be out drinking and driving. Thank you very much.